So this morning we decided that we were going to just create a platform for us to solidify some of the things that God has done over the last season. Sometimes we rush ahead and we miss the moment where God wants to turn our moments into movements. In other words, God has spoken something, God has declared something, God has released something inside of us. Just like this, the farmer knows as he plants seed in the ground, that seed has to be watered. It has to be looked after. The soil conditions have to be tended to in order for that plant to grow and flourish and become a harvest. And I think sometimes in our walk with God, we have become excellent hearers, but not excellent doers of the word. We like the Pharisees that Jesus speaks about, that we'll be ever seeing but never really seeing. We'll be ever hearing but never really hearing. That our hearts become dull in understanding. And I don't believe that's what God has called us to. I'm seeing a vision of a church community that are the best receivers on the planet Earth. I see your ears growing just as you sit here right now. In other words, our ability to hear the voice of God, our ability to receive what God is saying, even in the midst of our difficult circumstances, because how many of you know not, God's not confined by our circumstances? Last I checked, He was God above circumstances. Last I checked, He was God over all. He was in all. He was through all. He holds all things in the palm of His hands. You know what? If all things are in the palm, imagine how big He is. Just think, I just thought about that for a moment. I mean, that's the reality, that all things are in His small, minute little palm compared to the magnitude of who He is. And we've just sung about magnify Him, and I'm trusting that our eyes will start to see a bigger Jesus, a bigger God. Our ears will hear of a bigger God, and our hearts will not be dull in understanding that, but we will receive it, we will begin to nourish it, we will begin to water it, we will begin to occupy it in our day-to-day lifestyle. And that's the goal of today. Steve Backlund has been out. He wanted to send his love to this church. He said he loved being here. He loved being part of this, the movement that God is stirring up in this place, in this region, for such a time as this that you and I are part of. Yes. Tell the person next to you, part of this. And some of the words that he declared obviously are recorded. We'll be sending those out. If you weren't here this weekend, get the recordings and position your heart to receive everything that God deposited in us this weekend. We will not know the full extent of it until much later. And so we are expecting some good things. So I want to just explain what we're going to do. Donnie and I both have significant quotes or declarations of truth that were made over this time. And we want to declare them. We want to make them together. We also want to drill down deeper into what that means for us. Give us some understanding of what the adjustments in our own hearts need to be. Help us just occupy that space. Because one of the things Steve said, which was quite powerful, he said in the old covenants, what blocked the people of God moving into their promises, the promised land, were physical giants. They were there. They were present. But in the new covenants, those giants, those blockages exist in the mindset, the unrenewed parts of our mind. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And there are blockages in our own thinking that have been placed there because of our past experiences, our negative past experiences, that remain opposed and in arguments against the knowledge of God. That's what the Bible declares. In fact, I'll declare the scripture for you so you can see this is not just a thought that is a great opinion. This is truth. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not fleshly. They're not physical. Our giants aren't the physical giants. Your boss at work is not your giants. Your marriage is not your giants. Your bank balance is not your giants. Your what's going on in your kids' lives are not your giant. What's happening in our nation right now, that's not our giants. The giant is what we think about it. It's what we believe about it. Because that's where God begins to work. God works by faith. And so we see here that our weapons are not something that is carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are those areas that we've agreed to, those areas in our minds that we've agreed to. We've attached faith to those things. And they become something that holds us strongly in the area of our thinking. But they're not always truth. They're not always truth. And so the goal of our warfare is to cast down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is truth. Who He is, what he declares, who he says we are, who he says this world is, what he declares over this nation, that's the knowledge of God. And the Bible says that we have access to this knowledge of God in Christ. We get to hear, we get to see, we get to experience everything that is God because of Christ. And so in this moment, God wants to cast down those arguments, those things that are opposed to the nature and the word and the outworking, the plan and purpose of God. Bringing every thought, if we just think that it's someone else's responsibility, every thought that we have into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That every thought that doesn't line up with the truth has to be brought into obedience with Jesus, the truth. And that's the process that we're on in order for us to occupy and go into the place that God's called us to.
I loved when Steve mentioned in one of his times with Jesus, where he was talking about how he felt, he said, God, every time I move forward in you, the attack of the devil is stronger. And God said to him, why do you say that? So he said, because every time I move forward in you, the attack of the devil is stronger. And he said, Steve, that is true, but that's not truth. And there's so many areas in our lives where something is true for us and we think that's the truth for Jesus. And we've got to learn to find out what we're actually making things captive to. We're making them captive to the truth in Jesus, not just what feels true. And then he went on to say, but God, it feels so true. If it feels true, isn't it true? And God said, no, it's not. And that's the process God is taking us in, where we actually find out what the truth is, because the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Good word. Okay, so before we get into, we've got just 4 points we want to make. I want to deal with the elephant in the room, which is this thing called a coronavirus. Because I think it's important that we speak into it in line with what God has said and what is true. And I'm sharing a prophetic word that I had on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, one of those, I shared in the prayer meeting. I think it's so clear. It was, I was in a worship time down. I've been all week with Steve in Durban doing all sorts of meetings. And I think we were in a worship time or we just finished a worship time. And automatically had a picture of the mist that descends over Hilton. And I was driving my car uptown hill and we got to the top. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it. I'm sure you have living in this era. That there's always a thick cloud of mist over the Hilton region. And I know there's all geographical reasons for that. But I was driving in this. And all of a sudden, I felt the fear and anxiety of hitting the mist and not being able to know where to go from that place. Was, do I go forward? Do I stop the car? Is someone going to bash me from behind? Am I going to go off the road? And all those kind of things. When you are clouded within this mist and you cannot see clearly. There's no clarity. There's no comfort. And I was in this moment, almost like a video in my mind that God was playing for me. And all of a sudden, a car pitched up in front of my car. And it had two red taillights on. And how many, you know, for me, when that happens, it's like the biggest comfort and the biggest relief and the biggest amount of clarity that I need to get through the mist onto the other side. Because all I need to do is get into the slipstream of this car and follow this car. Ever been there?
Yeah.
And I felt the Lord say that that is who he is to us.
Yes.
And I feel it's a particular word. In that whole thing, obviously Hilton is a particular region that this vision happened in. But I feel like the enemy's plan is to cloud us in all sorts of mist.
Yeah.
In other words, fear is false evidence appearing real. It's this magnifying something that's not truth, magnifying a lie or perpetuating a narrative that is not built on the narrative of God. And sometimes, no, not sometimes, let me just say this, all the time, the enemy uses fear as a way to distract us from the true purpose of God.
So
in fact, 365 times, one for every day, the Lord says in the word, do not fear. Everywhere you go, the thing that opposed the will and the plan and purpose of God was fear. Fear in the hearts of God's people. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be terrified. How many times have you read that in Scripture?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard the Holy Spirit say that to you? So we must understand fear is actually against the plan and purpose of God.
Yes.
It's something we need to obliterate. And so as I was in this vision and these red tail lights came ahead of me, I felt the Lord say that's what he wants to be for us. He wants to be the one who goes before us and the one who makes our path straight. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path
straight.
He will get you to the other side because he's already there. He's already gone there. He's already won the victory. He's already overcome sickness and disease. He's already dealt the death blow to sin and death and all those things. And so in the midst of this vision, I felt very comforted and very clear on what God was calling us to. And I feel like these two red lights are almost like a signboard for us, a signpost to say, follow the word of God, the words of God, and follow the Spirit of God. His words are spirit and truth. Yes. That we begin to allow this truth of who God, what God says, and the spirit that breathes life into that to lead us, we will go unharmed through to the other side. And I'm believing that as believers, we would stop the paranoia that is in our society, and we would rise up in truth by the Spirit and begin to declare the words of God. And I'm not just talking about I'm talking about the now, the rhema, the revealed word of God. That's the one we're listening for the whole time. I have a massive dream that our first reaction as the body of Christ will be, God, what are you saying? Not what the media is saying. God, what are you saying? Not what my circumstances are saying. God, what is your word over this situation? I mean, if we, like Jehoshaphat, in the midst of the deepest fear and anxiety of our lives, set our hearts to seek God instead of seeking all the reasons why we can't do something, why we're not going to make it, why we can't amount to anything, why nothing ever is going to work for us, guess what will change? That position will change us into triumphant, victorious people. And so I believe right now God's calling us. The word declares, Mark chapter 16, I'm believing this. These signs will follow them that believe. They will cast out devils in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I mean, that's what I'm believing. That this is an opportunity for the miraculous power of God to work in and through the church. And we begin to speak something different, live something different, and release something different in our communities. Okay. That's our response. Because I can tell you now, God has not told me that this is going to cause mayhem or disaster. Yes, we're not being naive. We've got to take precaution. Yes, do all the things that doctors say you need to do. We're not denying that. We're just saying there's another reality here. There's a higher perspective that God wants to root us in.
Yeah, you know, when the leprous came to Jesus, they got well because of what was in him. He didn't get sick because of what was in them. And that's what the kingdom looks like, is that everybody else ran away when there was leprosy, except Jesus said, what is in me is greater than is what is in the world. And so when I release the kingdom of heaven, it's the kingdom that gets established, not brokenness, sickness, and disease that jumps onto me and I'm helpless and can't do anything about it. And that's who we are. He's in us. He's in us. We are those people. So we should be praying for the sick and seeing them get well, not riding away and wearing masks and going, oh my gosh, we're going to die. We're not going to die. Greater is he who's in me. He's in me. Is he in you? Check with the person next to you. Is he in you? Amen. That means revival's coming and I'm excited.
Great. So can we make this declaration over our community? Fear not.
Yes, fear not.
For the Lord your God is with you.
For the Lord your God is with you.
That's all we need.
That's all we need.
Great. So first point, if you can put it up there, that Steve made that I want to just drill down a bit deeper in, is this. It was the hinge points of every part of his ministry was the idea of abounding hope. And I want to read the scripture and then I'm gonna unpack this quote here. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope, can we say the God of hope?
God of hope.
Is he the God that is hopeless?
No.
Is he a God of discouragement?
No.
Is he a God of fear? No, he's a God of hope. He identifies himself with hope. That's who he is. May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we just look at that and kind of just summarize it, it's when we believe, in other words, when we center our lives and we allow truth, our beliefs to align with truth, the result is the God of hope is attracted to those beliefs. And he fills us. He fills us. The evidence of him filling us is all joy and all peace.
Amazing.
That's the evidence. And so how do we know that the God of hope is filling us? There's a greater reality and evidence of joy increasing in my life. Of peace increasing in my life. If you woke up this morning with a greater level of joy and peace in your life, you are allowing the God of hope to fill you by believing correctly. That's what the scripture is unpacking for us. And not only just enough, may you abound, which means over the top, no limitations. There's an overflow that God is wanting to release of hope inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, so good. And our responsibility right now is to allow our hearts to be aligned with that truth. So, as Steve said, any area of our life that doesn't glisten with hope is under the influence of a lie. We're not believing the truth. And there's a stronghold of the devil. As I've just explained how strongholds are rooted, many of us get our belief system from our past experience and the feelings that come from that. And so if you drill down in terms of, I don't have hope for that situation, and you follow that thought all the way to the root of it, you'll find that it's rooted in a past experience that's negative. In other words, a place where you were hurt, a place where maybe God didn't come through the way you thought he would. Maybe there's an area of disappointment, discouragement, failure, hopeless, whatever the case may be. But it comes from a place. And I believe that one of the big things that God is looking for us as a church is to identify what those are. There's some great tools to help us. The Holy Spirit, we are bound by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that comes into those spaces and begins to illuminate the truth and testify who we truly are. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit that we are sons of God. It reveals the very thoughts of the Father. And so God wants to upgrade us in our believing. But we've got to let go of some of the strongholds of past experience and negativity that have crept in and become so fortified in an area of our mind because we agree with them so much. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives right now is to set us free from past bad experiences and establish us in current experience of Jesus, of renewal. Like you are a new creation. The old is dead and gone. That's a renewal. It's a renewal scripture. We have been renewed in the likeness of Christ, which means that past experience does not dictate what I'm believing right now. Christ does. His truth over my life. The Word of God over my life. And so, for many of us, I think the journey we're on right now is we have to attend to the very areas that are strongholds, that are lies within our own minds that really are standing opposed to the truth of God, the belief that Jesus is enough. And I think this idea that Steve was giving us is a great indicator if there are lies. You know, sometimes we go through life, I'm like, oh, I don't really know if I'm believing a lie. How do we identify what that is? This is it. If it does not glisten with hope, if that area of your life does not glisten with hope, then the summation that we make is it's under the influence of a lie. There's no joy there. There's no peace there. Therefore, I must be believing something that's contrary to the truth of God's word. So what is that? Sometimes we need help to unpack that. That's what community groups are for. That's what leaders are for. That's what pastors are for. That's what Sozo ministry and counseling is all about. We go and say, hey, I need you to journey in this area so I can identify where this lie is coming from and allow the Holy Spirit to come into that place and renew it in the likeness of Christ. That I begin to build on the truth of who God says I am. So hope is the indicator of whether or not we are believing truth about ourselves, about God, about each other. I have no hope for you. Guess what? I'm believing a lie about you. Yeah. If I've got no hope for my marriage, I'm believing a lie about my partner. If I've got no hope for this nation, then I'm believing a lie about this nation. Yeah. I've got no hope for worldwide revival that is present here right now for such a time as this. I'm believing a lie of what God has declared and prophesied over centuries for such a time as this. If I'm believing a lie about myself, I'm nothing. I'm hopeless. I'm just worthless. I've got no value. I'm just a failure. Guess what? I'm believing a lie about myself, because if that doesn't glisten with hope, it's under the influence of a lie. It's a great indicator. It's like a gauge on your car. If you're hitting the hopeless, you're believing a lie. And we need to say, God, what is that lie? Let the truth expose it so that I can believe something different, attach faith to it, come into agreement with it, and see God do something completely different.
So just to give you a practical tip on how to do this, because I know that most of us in the room really want to believe what the truth is, and yet it feels like we're still getting tripped up on the same lie. Does anybody feel like that? Put your hand up if you feel like that. I know I feel like that sometimes, where I'm going for truth. Like I'm eliminating every single lie, and yet I still feel like it. So a couple of months ago, I was just always having this horrible foreboding feeling in the pit of my stomach. It was just like not go away. And I knew that it wasn't from Jesus, because every time I went into this foreboding feeling, I felt incredibly hopeless about whatever the situation was. And so I was taking authority over the spirit, and I was not allowing the spirit to take its place in my life, and yet I would wake up in the morning and it would still be there. So I'm like, oh, come on, Jesus, fight on my behalf. Come on, Lord, you know, you've done it. And I'm doing all the things that I kind of feel like I know how to do, until one day I realized what I was actually doing was partnering with this feeling, because I was living my life with an awareness of the feeling rather than an awareness of the Holy Spirit. So then I took a step back and I looked at this feeling and I said, foreboding, I see you and I don't partner with you. I am not empowering you to live in my life. What I'm in partnering with is peace. What I'm partnering with is joy, and what I'm partnering with is hope. That's what I'm partnering with. That is what I'm standing in agreement with. Funny thing is, I didn't have to take authority over foreboding ever again. It just disappeared. Because what I did was I took a step out of my real feeling that was completely driving my everything. Like, if I could just, you know, I can't even breathe properly because I'm just feeling stifled on the inside. So I'm going to worship, I'm going to worship, I'm going to worship, I'm going to praise. Oh God, breakthrough for me. And I still felt chachi on the inside. Until I took a step back and I went, I'm actually removing the power that I've given you. You don't have any power here anymore. What I'm partnering with is something different. And since that minute, I've not had to do that again, because what I'm looking at is partnering with hope rather than partnering with it, that horrible feeling that just seemed to want to squeeze the life out of me. So that's just a practical way of how you can do it. I see you. I see that you're here. I can see what you're trying to do, but I'm removing all power from you, because I'm the one who has the power because of Christ in me, and I'm partnering with something that is from Jesus and not from you.
Yes. Feelings are powerful. There are powerful indicators of whether we are aligned to truth or not, but they are not powerful leaders. They're a good indicator. Like on your car, you know, it's like the gauges, the fuel is empty, the oil needs topping up, all those. That's our emotions. They tell us things. But you don't drive your car based on your indicators. That would be foolish.
Yep.
So feelings are there because they are an indicator of our thinking, what we are believing. And so I really feel this morning that God wants to release us from that place, even of if you have attached agreements to a feeling that is negative, that God wants to set you free, and even in this moment right now. And so maybe you can just release that and pray for, if that's you, I want you just to say, yes, that's me. And we want to allow God this morning to set us free from that by coming into agreement with truth. This is the highest level spiritual warfare we can do. We demolish the strongholds, the arguments that's based on the lie. And we literally bring it into obedience with Christ, the truth. And so we're going to do that right now.
You know, the most powerful thing about negativity and the signs that the enemy gives us is because he knows what God wants to give us. So he gives us the opposite so we can concentrate on that thing. You know, he gives us sickness when God has said, I want to release a move of healing over you. And then we get so caught up in the sickness and forget that it's actually the opposite thing that God is bringing. And so when you see these horrible feelings and the sign of the enemy, by not partnering with them, what you're saying is, I'm believing in the promises of God and not in the promises of the devil is what I'm doing. So the important part of this moment is for you to acknowledge what it is that you are seeing. So won't you just close your eyes for a minute, and whatever it is that comes against you all the time, acknowledge it and say, I see you. And I am not partnering with you. I'm not partnering with you. I'm not giving you strength, and I'm not giving you power. And then whatever it is that God wants to give you is the exact opposite of whatever that thing is. So then look at the exact opposite of whatever that thing is and declare that that's what you're partnering with. And that is what you are empowering, and that is what you are giving airspace in your life, and that is what you are releasing over you, over your family, over your sphere of influence. So I partner with you. And I'm aligning my agreements with you, Jesus. I'm aligning my agreement with the fullness of who you are and what your plans and your purposes are in my life. And we're settling the matter now. The one that I agree with, the one that I empower, my yes and my amen goes to the plans and the purposes of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So every area of our life that does not glisten with hope is under the influence of a lie. And that's the stronghold place. That's the place the enemy keeps coming back to pull us into, a place where there's no joy, no peace, where the God of hope can't fill us. And that's what we are going to, at this moment, make our number one enemy, is to not agree with those lies, but to make all of them, any argument that comes from our minds against the knowledge of God, we take captive those thoughts and we make them obedient to Christ. That's what warfare is all about. Imagine every single moment of the day, as believers, we did that. We would be unstoppable. And so I declare right now, the ability and the grace by the abounding power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that every part of our day. Every thought, obedience to Jesus. What God's word has declared over us. That's truth. Wonderful.
You know, it's very important to know what Jesus is actually saying. Get out your prophetic words, guys. Let them wash over you. If they've been recorded somewhere, listen to them. Listen to them. It's so hard to remember what Jesus is saying if you're not keeping it constantly in your mind. What is Jesus saying over South Africa? Well, anything else that doesn't look like that is not from Jesus. So we're not partnering with that thing. We partner with what he is saying because that's how we establish the kingdom. When Matt was talking about us getting out just phrases that Steve had said, my goodness, the more I looked through my notes and allowed what he had said to wash over me, the more I was like, whoa. I mean, we could spend the rest of our lives here because actually we really should. It's all being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I really want to encourage you, get the teachings, listen to them, make notes. Just let them percolate through you because it's life-giving. And so the one thing that stuck out to me is that each one of us have this desire to live an impactful life, don't we? Each one of us at some point or another get incredibly frustrated with where we are and feel like we should be somewhere else, don't we? Inside of us, we feel like we should be at another place. And the one thing that he said that really stuck out to me was, do what you are doing with great faith, and it will become great. Do what you are doing, whatever it is, with great faith, and it will become great. We're all looking for that great moment. But actually, what God is interested in is stewarding our character and stewarding our hearts, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So whatever you're doing, make sure it's done with great faith. If your job is teaching children, do it with great faith. You know, we so often become lackadaisical about what we do in our everyday life, and then we have great faith when we spend time with Jesus. No, that's not how it works. If your job is being a truck driver, do it with great faith. Because whatever you do has to work in the currency of faith. Because when we live in great faith, God takes that little thing and makes it great. So the scripture that I want to share with you is out of Psalm 78, verse 70. It says, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. How do you think David knew how to shepherd a whole nation with integrity of heart? Well, it's because he started it by shepherding sheep with integrity of heart. He took every moment and he added to it great faith. So I looked at what this word integrity meant, and it means choosing your thoughts and your actions based on your values rather than personal gain. Should I say that again? Choosing your thoughts and your actions based on your values rather than on your personal gain. So I've got to say to you, what are your values? Are your values establishing the kingdom of heaven? Are your values that he has paid the complete and whole price, and it's not me having to strive to make things happen, but it's all in him? Or are your values still based on the fact of, I'm not really a son, I really have to work really hard, I actually really don't have value here, I've got to make it happen? Because whatever you believe is how you're going to live, right? So Steve kept saying over and over, if you want to believe something different, you have to see something different. So have a good look in your life. What are your values? Because integrity means consistently acting towards those values. Another definition from integrity said, being complete and whole. Isn't that amazing? In the dictionary, it says integrity means being complete and whole. In other words, it is behaving according to your truest identity, the things that God has spoken over you, over and over and over, which means when I have said I'm going to do something, I don't just not do that thing because it didn't suit me or something else happened. I do whatever I've said I'm going to do with integrity because I'm doing whatever I have with great faith and God will make it great. Whether it's pouring tea and coffee in church or whether it's serving your boss or whether it's being with your friends, whatever I do it with great faith because I believe that that's what God has called me to. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Because most of our life, we're kind of just trying to survive. We're kind of trying to eliminate the stress factor. We're trying to just breathe whenever we have a moment. But that's not who God's called us to be. God's called us to be people that operate from a place of great faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God.
So I'm going to just add in here, if you read the book of Nehemiah, which is a great story for us to understand what it looks like to grieve for what grieves God's heart. And there are situations around us that God has given us the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven, to overcome the areas of darkness. But it starts with us literally picking up that assignment by saying, God, I feel the pain that you feel for these people. I feel for this nation. I feel for this people group. I feel for the widows of this community. And we see one of the big things that happened in Nehemiah, just as Donnie was speaking about, was how unshakable and consistent he was to the assignment that God gave him. And I'm believing that God is going to clarify assignments over us because every single one of us, the Bible says, have been called according to a purpose. And sometimes we end up wafting through life, not being clear of what that purpose looks like. And the result is we end up not being able to attach great faith to what we're doing because we think it's just every day, all the time. It doesn't really, you know, when you understand the purpose of God, when you understand and in that Nehemiah story, he hears the assignment of heaven over his life, and not only his life, but the nation. And what does he do? He goes about building that. You know, for many of us, if we're going to start to see God do stuff, we've got to attach great faith to the assignments that we're currently living in. Every single one of us has been called, just like the mission of Jesus was, to speak good news instead of poor. It's to bind up broken hearts. It's to release people from captive. It's to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, the favor of God, as Jesus heralded. Every single one of us. But Nehemiah took that assignment. He added great faith to it. And guess what happened? He became unshakable and uncompromising and completely consistent. How do I know that? Look at Nehemiah chapter 6. And Steve mentioned this. But go and study it. And he commissioned a nation, take the wall in front of your house and build it strong. When the enemy comes, build with one hand and have your sword in the other hand. Why? Because you're not going to stop the assignment of God because someone's going to come and try and discourage or tempt you to doubt or tempt you to be overwhelmed because you've attached great faith to this. Like, this is what God has, he's put on my life. This is where we're going to see the greatest impact for the kingdom. And so Nehemiah chapter 6 comes along and we see that the enemy calls Nehemiah off the place of assignment and says, come down to the valley of Ono and come and let's talk a while. And his response was, I'm not coming there because I am doing a great work. And I believe that faith is saying yes bigger than our no's. Faith is where we start to see a picture of what God has called us to, what God has established us in, the victory we do have already. And we are rooted in that to such a degree that we are not tempted right or left from what God has said and the assignment God's given us. Because when the enemy comes in to try and distract you or discourage or detour you off the assignments of God, our response should be Nehemiah's response. I've attached so much faith to this that I cannot see anything else other than the assignment and the great work that I'm doing and the great work that God is doing in me and through me. And I am not going to give you any time to go down to the Ono Valley. Oh no, this is not working. Oh no, I'm not good enough. Oh no, this can't be. Oh no, not in Howick. Oh no, coronavirus. Oh no, and oh no, and oh no. We're not giving our ears to that because God has given us a great assignment to destroy the works of the devil, to preach the good news, to bind up broken hearts, to release people from captivity, to love those who are in desperate need of love into the kingdom of the loving Father. To set culture free from the lies and the fear that is trapping them. because we carry the liberating authority of Jesus. That's the assignment. I'm not turned towards that, oh no, there, or that, oh no, there. I've got a great work that I'm busy with. That's faith.
Isn't this exciting? Isn't this amazing? And it means you and me. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is so exciting.
So exciting.
Like, I cannot wait to live this life.
Hold your wall.
Hope is seeing the promises of God and living in the complete excitement of what He has called us to. It's bigger than you know.
Yes.
It's bigger than you. It's bigger than the person sitting next to you. And the amazing thing is that He has chosen you.
Yes.
Little old me with all my defects and all my funniness and all my quirkiness. Yep, little old you. And that for such a time as this, which is just amazing. It says in Galatians 5, verse 6, all that matters now, all that matters now after everything that's passed is living the life that faith in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love.
Yes.
So guys, I want to say to you, fall in love with Jesus all over again. All over again, because when you begin to see what He sees, everything you do is out of faith. When you begin to see His angle, His perspective, you hear His voice, you smell His smell, you are completely intoxicated with Him. Everything is directed towards, I want to be with you, and I want to do what you're doing, and I don't want to miss one single moment. And there's no more hapsidazical when you are totally intoxicated by love, is there? I mean, we've all had that moment when we were totally intoxicated by the one that our heart loved, and we would move heaven and earth just to be with them, right?
Yes.
It's the same thing with Jesus. It says our faith is activated, which means it starts and it's brought to completion by love. By love, by love, by love, by love, by love, by love. Spend your time falling in love with Jesus, because then I'm telling you, those desires that are inside of you to be great will automatically be fulfilled when you find yourself in Him.
Great. So the next point I want to make is, if you can put it up, is, and Steve said this, most of us are renewing our minds. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we give our heart to Jesus. We lay it all down. We land. He becomes Lord, which means he's sovereign. He's great. He's over all. He's in all. He's through all. But unless we surrender our beliefs as well, we get stuck in that place of the strongholds of lies, the old negative past experiences. And many of us are renewing our minds with our past experience and the feelings that come from those experiences instead of the Word of God, the living, active, powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, Word of God. This is spirit and life. If we want to experience something new, who wants to experience something new here? Who wants to walk into a different experience of God, of life? We have to hear something higher than our current experience. We have to believe something higher than our current experience. And we have to speak something higher than our current experience. And this is just an addendum that he spoke about. He says, both God and the devil need our words to accomplish their purposes. Whose purposes are we accomplishing? And so I want to just talk into that a bit, because I really feel like, you know what? There's grace in our journey. One thing I've realized is that God is a God of process. How do I know that? Well, He sent Jesus as a baby. When I look at that story, and Steve and I were talking about it many times, it would have been far more economical, it would have been far more practical and functional, easier, if Jesus came ready to start His ministry straight away. I mean, the world waited 30 more years after Jesus was announced, after Jesus came, in order for transformation to happen. That was a waste of time in my context, my economy. But how many of you know that that was an example of what it would look like for us to be formed into the image of God? There's a journey, there's a process, there's a maturing work. There is it starts in seed form, and it becomes something that's powerful and active. And so we need to give ourselves grace for our processes. But the second thing is this, is that in the process of God transforming us, what we renew our minds, what we think upon constantly is the most important thing. Because if we are thinking about our past experiences more than we're thinking about our new creation reality in Christ, more than we are thinking about the all things that God has added to us in Christ, all the promises that are ours, yes and amen in Christ, if we are not If we don't realize that at our baptism, the old died and you were raised to life again in Christ, there's a new creation reality that's living inside of you by the Spirit of God. If we don't think about that more than we do our past experience, guess what happens? We're renewing our minds with our past experience, with the negativity of our mistakes, our anxieties, our hopeless situations, our disappointments, our failures. And guess what starts to happen? We become that. And I think one of the cancers of the modern day church is the dullness of heart. It's like God can speak to us, but it's just dull because we haven't yet allowed our new creation reality to become so strong and so big that we hear and receive everything that God's got for us. We're still thinking, yeah, but I'm troubled by that. Yes, but how's that going to happen? Yes, but I'm not worthy of that. I can't do that. And a great example for me is the story and the birth of Jesus. The angel of the Lord rocks up, and what does the angel announce? What does the Spirit of God announce? Highly favored woman, blessed are you amongst women. You are going to, and starts to declare her assignment on earth. What is her first response to that? She was renewing her mind based on her past experience and feelings. And so what did she say? I'm so troubled by that statement. In her mind, she was thinking, I am not that highly favored woman that you talk about. I am not blessed amongst women. What's special about me? What's unique about me? I can't do this. I'm just a failure. I'm just a mistake. We perpetuate our dullness of hearing because we are caught up in this cycle of thinking and renewing our minds according to past experience that's negative, pain, trauma, anxiety, hopelessness, rejection, all those things. And we are new creations, perfectly loved, perfectly accepted, perfectly approved. Guess what? That is an inner world that is in disagreement. The only way God is going to begin to move is that we come into perfect agreement in our hearts and our minds, in our soul and our spirits. That's when the authority of God gets released in our lives. And until there's a disagreement, the Bible says a double-minded, a double-hearted, a double-souled person is unstable in all their ways. We are not going to see the authority of God released upon this earth until we come into full agreement with who we are in Christ, our new creation state. You are new creations. The old is dead and gone. Behold, it's a new day. Until we agree with that fully and stop letting our minds wander down the path, that's why we have to take our thoughts captive. And so, as the angel continued to say, her next response, Mary, was, but how is this going to practically happen? Her logical mind stepped into the very place. And as Steve said, we're not called to be those who build our lives on experience. We're those who build our lives on the supernatural. It means the reality of our circumstances are not the highest reality of truth. They may be true to you, but they're not truth. Because truth is what God has said about your circumstances. And so here we see she goes into this flat spin, like I do sometimes. How is this going to happen? God, you're going to do this mighty thing. The Christ one is going to be birthed inside of me. How is this going to happen? I haven't even been with a man yet. I'm a virgin. Don't we do that all the time? God comes and speaks his word over us, and we look at our past experience. I've never been intimate with a man. And what do? We disqualify that word based on our experience instead of allowing the word of God to ignite faith in us to believe it. So, if we're going to renew our minds based on past experience, we're going to end up in the same pit that we came from. But if we don't allow God to speak truth to us, what we do is that truth becomes what we renew our mind on. And guess what happens? Just like in Luke chapter 1 with Mary, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, planted a seed of destiny inside of her. And her responsibility was to do what? I agree with that. I don't agree with my practical, logical mind and circumstances. I don't agree with my past negative experiences. I agree with the Word of God over my life. Because what did she say at the end of that? Let it be according to Your word, God. I see it all now. I see it all clearly now. You see, when we start to renew our minds according to truth, the word of God, what God has said about us, what God has said about our circumstances, what God has said about our nation, what God has said about our family, what God has said about our future, what does it do? When you start to think about that more than you do, thinking about all the areas that you disqualified, can't, beaten, discouraged, hopeless, anxious, fearful, failure, mistaken, what happens? We begin to move into that space. Because faith is the activator of the promises of God. And you see, right now, our future experiences are requiring a current mind renewal according to truth. If our future is going to look different, guess what? Our current thinking has to change in order to embrace that.
So another tip of an easy way that you can help yourself to grow in this area is when you have one of those thoughts, you know, one of those thoughts that you battle with, and all of us battle with those thoughts, is to stop yourself, because you've got to think about what you're thinking about. You can't just allow your mind to run rampant with thoughts and never actually hold them to account, right? So stop yourself when you have that thought and ask yourself this question. Who told me that? Who told me that I'm a failure? Who told me that I'm never going to be successful in this area? Who told me I don't have what it takes? Who told me, whatever your lie is, you can insert lie over there. Who told me that? Because once you recognize who told you that lie, it's so easy to displace that lie with the truth. But this is not what you say about me, God. What you've said about me is this. And for us to eliminate, Bill Johnson says, we cannot afford to think one thought in our mind that God doesn't think about us. If God is not thinking that thought about you, you shouldn't be either. So if he hasn't told you that, control, out, delete. It no longer has space in my brain.
So are you ready for an empowered, supercharged, renewed mind that activates the promises of God?
Yes.
Because our future is incredibly bright.
Yes.
Our future in God is glory to glory.
Yes.
And so we want to release some things in the room and over your life. I'm going to ask the worship team to join us. And then we're going to end this moment by breaking bread. And Donnie will elaborate a bit more on that. But we're just going to release a few things. I already felt this morning, just even as I was just walking up and down the rows this morning before church, just praying and saying, God, meet with us today. I saw a picture of someone who was trapped. They had no legs and they couldn't move forward. And literally, as we began to worship today, as we began to speak, as we began to proclaim the word of God, I saw these legs grow out, and all of a sudden this person stand up and begin to move forward. And I feel like some people have been halted due to a trauma or pain or something in their life that has literally caused them to be almost immovable. Like, I can't move from this place. It feels like it's like there's nothing that can shift me out of this place. I feel like there's a grace in the room right now for God to just shift us into walking. And it's not, you know, the vision I had was the legs grew and then they stood up and then they took a step and then they took a step. It wasn't running instantly. It was a walking. It was a standing up and walking. It was a rising up and walking.